إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. أما بعد, my dear brothers and elders and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The topic that I have titled today is Who are the inheritors of Jannah? Who are the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Al-Warithun, the Wurasa of Jannah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Surah Al-Mu'minun, in the first 11 ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون والذين هم لأماناتهم وأحديهم راعون والذين هم على صلواتهم يحافظون أولئك هم الوارثون الذين يرثون الفردوس هم فيها خالدون صدق الله العظيم اللهم اجعلنا معهم ومنهم. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those and make us with those people who will be called the Wurasa of Jannah, inshallah. The first, the translation of these ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Successful indeed are the mu'mineen, the believers. Who are these believers? وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِيُونَ. Allah said, those who have khashya in their salah. And those who turn away from al-laghw. I want you to remember this word because we are going to be talking about this word. Al-laghwa. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. The people who turn away from all that is described as laghw. And we will see in detail what al-laghwa means. And those who pay zakat. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي زَكَاتِهِمْ فَعِلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said these are the people who وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاتِ فَعِلُونَ. Not فِي زَكَاتِ. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاتِ فَعِلُونَ. People who pay zakat. And then Allah said, and those who guard their chastity except from their wives or those that their right hand possesses, for then they are free from blame. But whosoever seeks beyond that, then those are the transgressors. Those who are faithfully true to their amanat and to their covenants and their promises, and those who strictly guard their salawat. And this the issue of salah is coming back again from the first rakat, from the first ayah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the 10th ayah, these are indeed the inheritors who shall inherit al-firdaus, not just Jannah, Jannatul Firdaus, the highest level of Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said that they will inherit Jannah. Allah said al-firdaus. And Firdaus is the highest level of Jannah. And Allah then said, further, they shall stay there forever. That they will be there, fihi khalidun. That they will stay there forever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the qualities in this ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the qualities of these people who he called al-warithun. And the beauty of the bayan of the Quran is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described these qualities in pairs. If you see the ayat, and I will explain this. With one ibadah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala paired an action or a issue of akhlaq. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala paired an ibadah with an act of akhlaq. Each one reinforcing the other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala paired salah with khushu and khudu, that is the quality of salah, which is an ibadah, with the issue of akhlaq of turning away from laghw, from turning away from what is known as laghw. And we will see how these two are paired and why they are important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala combined paying zakat with guarding of chastity and avoiding anything which is of a shameless nature. Third pair, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala paired salawat salawatihim yuhafizun. Again, he paired the salah with being true to your word and being true to covenants and being true to amanat. So three pairs of things, each one an ibadah, and paired with that is an action or is an issue of akhlaq. The first pair is khashyatullah and staying away from everything that is lagh. So this is the first pair. Khashyatullah and staying away from all laghwiyat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned first the inner quality of salah, where he talked about khushu' wal khudu' fi salah, concentration and awareness of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the salah. My brothers and sisters, khashya is the quality of heart. And it's the quality, is that quality of the heart which is the result of taqwa. There is no khashya if there is no taqwa. Taqwa is important. Taqwa is the essential thing which brings about khashyatullah. And taqwa comes from knowledge. Taqwa comes from ilm, from understanding and knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this quality of taqwa and what it does, and he mentioned this quality of khashya and what it does. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشيا متصديا من خشية الله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that if this Quran, had we sent this Quran down onto a mountain, this mountain would have, you would have seen it humbling itself. You would have seen it disintegrating and humbling itself and crumbling to dust. Mean? Khashyatillah. Because of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must bring humility in the heart. There is no place for awareness of Allah and arrogance. So if somebody considers himself to be an alim, and if you find that in his behavior there is arrogance, then you have to doubt the ilm. Because how can you have ilm and arrogance at the same time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the mountain will humble itself to dust, min khashyatillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned the issue of khashya as an essential quality of the ulama, where he said, innama yakhsha allaha min ibadihil ulama. Allah said, the people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most are those people who have knowledge. Why? Because when you have knowledge, then we understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we have an awareness and an understanding of the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it brings about an awe of Allah in the heart, which prevents us from doing anything which is the disobedience of Allah. So khashyatullah is a protection from sin. Khashyatullah is a protection from Jahannam. Khashyatullah is a protection from the fire. Khashyatullah is a means of getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khashyatullah is a means of getting concentration in the salah of khushu' and khudu'. Khashyatullah is a means of deliverance, insha'Allahul musta'an, on the day of judgment from the fire and entry into the Jannah. And that is the means, therefore, of getting close to Allah and invoking from His power. The result of khashyatullah is that a person turns away from everything which is lagh. From khashyatullah results in tawajjuh ilallah. And tawajjuh ilallah cannot stay in the same place as ghafla. You cannot simultaneously concentrate and be unaware of something. It's logically impossible. You can't be concentrating on something and also you are thoughtless about it. It cannot be possible. So thoughtlessness and concentration cannot be together. So khashyatullah, tawajjuh ilallah, and ghafla cannot be together. If one drives away the other, if you are ghafil, then tawajjuh of Allah is driven away. And if you have tawajjuh ilallah, then ghaflat is driven away. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has combined these two things together in this ayat of the Quran, where he combines salah and khushu and khudu fi salah. Qad aflaha al-mu'minun alladhina hum fi salatihim khashi'un. Specific quality of the salah has been described. So khushu and khudu in salah drives away ghafla, drives away the thoughtlessness with regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that here in this issue, that khashyatullah, the result of khashyatullah is that one turns away from all forms of ghafla, wal ma'asiyya, wal fahsha, wal munkar. From all forms of thoughtlessness and forgetfulness, from all forms of sin, from all forms of shamelessness, and from all forms of rebelliousness. Lagho is a word that is used to describe all forms of ghafla. This is the beauty of the bayan of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used just one word to describe everything that comes in the definition of that word. And the reason is that because all of those things together lead to the same result, which is the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So laghwa is all forms of ghafla, all forms of heedlessness, ranging from useless conversation to music. Music is big time ghafla. Music is big time ghafla. And that is why music is haram. Make no mistake about this. Don't let anybody fool you. There is enough and more evidence in the Quran and the Sunnah to say the music is haram. And anyone is interested in the evidence, I'll give you all the evidence in the world you want. So music is haram. So produces ghafla big time. Laghu is also all forms of evil talk. Ghiba, namima, bad talking people, slandering people, telling lies about people and so on. And all other things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. All of this come under the description of laghu. And as I said, the beauty of the bayan of the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses a single word to describe all of this, because in effect they all lead to the same thing, and that is the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can say from this that those people who have khashyatullah, they stay away from laghwa. And those who would like to develop khashyatullah should stay away from laghwa. Because you cannot have ghafla and tawajjuh in the same place, as I said. One drives away the other. And that's why it's very important to live thoughtfully. I have said this in many times. Do not live thoughtlessly. A Muslim lives thoughtfully. One becomes engrossed in the nonsense of this life. This whole society that we live in today is a consumerist society. It is driven, it's a society of sheep. It is driven by people who know how to manipulate those sheep. And they manipulate them in many very interesting ways. Now, for example, if you live this life thoughtlessly, if you live this life like all so-called normal people, not like Muslims, then what happens? You get yourself engrossed in useless things. For example, you get yourself engrossed in watching futile games, in playing even more futile computer games, video games, in watching races and matches. Now think about this, what is more futile and stupid than spending a large amount of money to go to a far off place to watch people racing cars on a circuit? Now what is more stupid than that? At least if one took home the lesson that at the end you went and spent, you know, God knows how many thousands on your air ticket, and you spend money on your hotel, and you spend money on your local taxi transport, and you went to the Formula One circuit, and you got a lousy back seat because you only paid 35,000 rupees. If you wanted a front seat, you would have had to pay 2.5 lakhs. So you would have paid 2.5 lakhs if you were totally stupid. If you were slightly less stupid, you paid 35,000 rupees. And you went and sat, and what you did was you watched a bunch of people racing cars around the circuit. Now, at least at the end of that, if you came back with a great life lesson, that here is the finest, I think Formula One is the finest example of the futility and stupidness of this life. Because what are you actually seeing there? You are seeing a bunch of very stupid people who have spent a fortune on cars, who are racing at high speed round a circle, burning tons of gas, polluting the atmosphere, putting their life at risk, and at the end of the whole day, they are still in the same place. They haven't gone anywhere. Ajeeb. Now, at least if you go and watch a Formula One race and you come back with that lesson, at least minimum, alhamdulillah, you paid a high price to learn a simple lesson which you could have learned. But doesn't matter. At least you paid the high price. You learned the lesson. Now, what do you do? You make 2 rakah salah, make tawbah, swear to yourself that you will not even be dragged in chains to a Formula One course for the rest of your life. You will not watch it on television. You will not go anywhere. Even if somebody drags you with a chain around your neck, you will fight like tooth and nail. You will not go there. At least if you do that. Because, believe me, I'm not joking. Believe me, you will answer to for every single rupee you spend, because that is laghwa in the Quran. It is haram. So if you don't want to do that, make tawbah. Ask Allah to forgive you. Learn the lesson. Learn the lesson. Even more futile than this is video games, computer games. The only people who benefit are the programmers. Like the only people who benefit from Formula One are who? Yeah. The advertisement? Beyond that. The bookies, the organizers, the bookies, the people who are taking betting billions from mentally retarded people who want to go and sit there and watch the race and put money on it. They are the people who benefit. Nobody else. No one else. No one else. Now, who benefits from computer games? The people who make the games. Why? Because they're selling the games. And the programmers, maybe they try out some new technologies, some of which can perhaps be used for more useful work and more productive work. But the vast majority of those, of people, are those who spend large amounts of money and then they kiss goodbye to vast amounts of their lifespan to play a game killing imaginary enemies. You're dropping bricks on something which is moving. What is this? This is life. Allah made life for this. Allah gave you life for this. You are going to stand on the day of judgment, and the first thing you will be questioned is, what did you do with the life I gave you? And you're going to say, Ya Rab, I was in front of the computer. I had this thing in my hand and the joystick, and I was doing. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Allah gave you life for this. Allah gave you life for this. Go and throw those things, throw the Game Boy in the garbage. Don't even give it to somebody, because it is, you'll be spreading ghafla. Right? Put it there, take an axe and smash it, and take a video of that. You know, how do you smash a game box? You know, take an axe and smash it. You'll probably never do it in your life again. So, alhamdulillah, good for you. Take a chopper. Those who haven't been doing qurbani, ask the khasab to give you a chopper and smash it with that. Totally. Now, the amazing thing is that the consumer is brainwashed into spending time and energy and money in an activity that has absolutely no value except to help him forget the only thing which has value, and that is that one day he will die. If you could do a brain scan of somebody who is watching any of these stupid races, or any of these even more stupid computer games, and any of these even more stupid World Cup matches and 2020s or whatever, if you could do a brain scan, I will give you $1 billion if any one of them was thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while he was watching that thing. Total ghaflat. There are many people, and I'm sure, inshallah, you guys are not among them. There are many people who will miss salah, who will not even pray. And maybe some of us will delay it a little bit though. I mean, you may not miss it, but you know, if it's a game point on a tennis match. And I'm not even talking about the other aspects of those tennis match and all those beautifully positioned cameras to take particular shots and so on and so forth. I'm not talking about all that here. Eh? You know that better than me, because you are the guys who watch it. How do I know if I don't watch it? Another very important point to this is that, even more importantly, all of these things, especially computer games, is a very insidious way of mind steering. It's a very insidious and a very powerful way of influencing the opinions of people. Just think, Allah gave you a brain for what? Think. At the end of the game, what are they trying to do? They are trying to show that certain kinds of people are good and certain kinds of people are bad. They want to color your judgment. They want to steer your thought. They want to inveigle decisions to suit their agenda. And this is what is the not so hidden agenda of the so-called mainstream media, of films and televisions and the gaming industry. It's not a multi-billion dollar industry for nothing. There is an agenda behind this. Entertainment is the name given to it. But for the people who are creating it, entertainment is the last thing they want. They actually want you to come out of that place with a certain kind of opinion about certain things. May Allah give us some sense to understand what is happening in this world. Don't live like sheep. You know what happens to sheep. Last 3 days you were doing things to sheep. I was asking somebody the other day, you know, we were in Africa, we were in the game parks, and we were looking at, I took this series of fantastic pictures of a leopard. And I was asking somebody, I said, tell me, why is it that a leopard never varies his hunting strategy? The leopard only hunts in one way. The lion only hunts in one way. The tiger only hunts in one way. Never changes. Why? Because the prey never learns. So the predator doesn't have to change anything. His same old strategy will work generation after generation after generation, because the prey species never learn. The antelope don't sit down, they don't have an indaba, they don't have a meeting to say, you know what, this leopard always sits on top of a tree, and why are we so stupid that we always have to walk under the tree? Why can't we walk, take a big leap from there? He doesn't have the speed to match us. If we see the leopard coming, that leopard doesn't have a, you know, snowball's chance in hell of catching us, so we get out. Why must we walk under the tree? They don't think. So they always walk under the tree, and the leopard jumps, and another antelope gone to the great blue yonder. Seriously, think about that. Today, if we take Muslim world history as it is happening today, somebody gave me a book the other day called The Tragedy of Hyderabad. You know that particular book? All I need to do is remove names. Remove the names of the people in that book and insert the names of current players in the world Muslim leader market, and we have a new book. I have to change nothing. I do not have to change anything. All I need to do is remove this name and put another name, and the book is as good as new. In South Africa, there was a whole program on Iqbaliyat. They were talking about the kalam of Allama Iqbal, and they were talking about what Allama Iqbal said about the Muslim Ummah, and so on and so on. And they asked me to speak, and I gave a one-line speech. I said, Alhamdulillah, please think, how is it that what Allama Iqbal said more than 100 years ago is still valid today for the Muslim Ummah? I said, Salaam Alaikum, and I sat down. Which means in 100 years and more, we learned nothing. We learned absolutely nothing. Why? Because we are too busy playing computer games. We are too busy doing sheep things instead of using our intelligence. My brothers and sisters, think about this. Our society is based on three things, three principles. The glorification of greed and the flaunting of material wealth, irrespective of its source. It can come from anywhere. As long as it's money, I have it, I'm going to show it. See the language. Language reflects attitudes. See the language which is used. What are rich people called? High net worth individuals. So the net worth of a person is the money he has in the bank. Not his character, not his knowledge, not his akhlaq, not how he is with people, with neighbors, with so on and so on, not the amount of good that he does. Nothing matters. High net worth. What is your net worth? Is the amount of money you have in the bank. I ask you therefore to apply the same principle to Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To apply the same principle to his sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, whose name we do not take without saying radiyallahu anhu. But be true to yourself. Don't fool yourself. If Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu was here today, and he wanted to marry your daughter, would you marry your daughter to him? If Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu was here, would you marry your daughter to Bilal? Or you would say, when you're a black man, you know, how can I marry my daughter to you? Nifaq is the disease of the heart. We say one thing, we do something else. There's something on our tongues and there's something very far away from that in our hearts. The actual reality. Actual reality. The world today is based on the glorification of greed and the flaunting of wealth, no matter what its source is. Second principle of today, complete lack of responsibility with regard to the rest of the world. Now think about this. Again, language. Language reflects attitudes. See, the self-create, and remember, these are phrases not created by enemies of the society. These are self-created phrases which describe society. Each one for himself and may the devil take the last. You heard this phrase? This describes competition in this world. Dog eat dog. Okay? You don't see monkey eat banana. You say dog eat dog. You call it what kind of a race? Horse race? No. What race? Rat race. I mean, you call yourself a rat. As I always say, the beauty of a rat race is even if you win, you are still a rat. Think about this. Society itself calls it these things and yet we run behind it. Think about another thing. How come simultaneously we boast today, collectively, the human race, of being the most knowledgeable people who ever existed? We say that today humanity, in terms of knowledge, in terms of science and technology and so on and so forth, is at the peak of knowledge of the human race any time in history. Now, this is a claim. I'm not saying it is true. All you need to do is go to Egypt and watch one of the look at one of the pyramids and you know it's not true. But let's take their word for it. So you are at the peak of knowledge. Alhamdulillah. Then answer one very simple question. How is it you're destroying the world? How come there's global warming? How come there's environmental pollution? How are you destroying the world? How come species are getting extinct all over the place? Why do you have a global climate, save the climate meeting in South Africa? Why do you have this? For what? Because since you are the most knowledgeable people, you must know that there's no other world to go and live in. So you need to preserve this world. So how come you're not preserving it? So either you don't have the knowledge, so you are ignorant, and you are lying about the knowledge, or you have the knowledge and you're not using it, which means you are stupid. Now take your pick. You are ignorant or stupid? Which one? This is our modern society. Open your eyes, please. Open your eyes. Don't live in the world like sheep. And the third principle. First principle, glorification of greed. Second principle, complete lack of responsibility with regard to other people. I don't care. I got it. I flaunt it. What about the poor man? He's a bum. If he had any sense, he would have been making money. Third principle, entertainment. Seeking vicarious thrills to help forget the bankruptcy of existence. Why do you go watch a Formula One? Because you can't drive that car to begin with. That is, you watch someone who's driving it and you get a vicarious thrill out of it. All sorts of spectator sports, consumer museums. What are consumer museums? Anybody? Those who know me should answer this. Absolutely. Shopping centers, malls, consumer museums. That's why they measure. See, that's why I always say, you get what you measure. You know what they measure in malls? Footfalls. So they get a lot of footfalls. Not sales. And then, of course, the rest of it. Music, movies, gambling, slot machines, Las Vegas. Please, people, wake up, man. What's amazing is that this is not obvious to people, that this way of life itself, it is the way of life itself. Why do you need life? You know, you go to Disney and there's a sign there which says, forget this life and enter here. My question is, why forget life? Because the way this life has been created and the way that mentally retarded slaves of society lead this life itself creates stress and pain and suffering and creates a void. So you got to fill it with something. You got to fill it with something. And that something is designed to help them forget the meaninglessness of their existence. And that something is called entertainment. It is designed to make you forget the bankruptcy of your life. And that's our modern nightmare, which we call our dream. Because, of course, nightmares are also dreams, right? I'm dealing only with one of the pairs where I think this is something we don't want to rush through this. Alhamdulillah, the ayat of the Quran need tadabbur and tafakkur. And we'll do the next two and maybe two in the next Jummah or maybe in two Jummahs. I want you to seriously think about this. The issue of salah and the issue of love, of forgetfulness, of thoughtlessness, of living a life which is heedless, living a life which does not remember Allah, living a life which does not remember your own death, living a life where you have forced yourself to forget that one day you will die and stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you will answer for what you did and what you chose not to do. And believe me, ignoring that doesn't change anything. Reality is that which does not depend on belief for its existence. Reality is real. Whether you believe it or you don't believe it makes no difference. Reality is real. Why must we believe it? Because if you believe it, then you will prepare for it. And if you don't believe it, it doesn't change. It's still the same. It's still the same. And what is the reality? ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الْحَقِّ فَمَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ مَآبَهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that truly that day, and that is the day of judgment, is a fact. It is true. And if someone is interested in doing something about it, let him work on making a way to his Rabb. My brothers and sisters, please do not fool yourself. The day we were born, we had our longest lifespan. And from the minute you started breathing, your and my lifespan has started reducing. It's a clock which is running backwards. And one day that clock will come to zero and a bell will toll. It will toll for me and it will toll for you. The only catch in this whole thing is we don't know when. And subhanAllah, in this masjid itself, how many people have we prayed for? How many people have we made dua for because they died? In the same masjid in the last 3 years or whatever we have been here, how many people? Young and old. Young and old. You know that, I know that. We did not only make dua for old people who died, we made dua for young people who died. People in their teens, people in their 40s, people in the peak of their health and physical condition, as well as old people who were sick and who were ailing. How many people? Why do I believe and why do you believe that that day will not come to you and me? And it's no good saying, no, I don't believe that. Of course, I one day. If you believe something, the sign of yaqeen is action. The sign of yaqeen is action. If there is no action, then there is no yaqeen. It's as simple as that. No one can claim to have yaqeen while the person is not acting on this. Then he is lying to himself. He is trying to fool himself because he doesn't fool anybody else. If we have yaqeen, then that yaqeen must be reflected in our actions. If we have yaqeen that one day we will die, then we must prepare for that. And as I told you, the clock is ticking. So every single second is important. Do not believe that even 1 minute is not important. Even 1 second is important. Please measure your lives. Make timetables. Those of you who came to the time management class, I do that every year. I do it free of cost. If you don't want to practice it, what can I do? I can't force you. Make a timetable of your life. Look at your average day and say, what am I spending my day in? And then assess for yourself. You don't have to show it to anybody. You don't need somebody else's approval. Alhamdulillah, Allah has given you enough knowledge and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you enough intelligence to take these decisions on your own. Look at your life and say, the time that I am spending, is it time that I am content to answer to Allah for? Or is it something that I need to do something about? If there is even 1 second in that timetable, even if there's 1 minute in that timetable, where you are spending time doing something which will come under the description of lagh, then delete it. Remove it. We have become a society of time wasters. Society of time wasters. Everything that we do takes colossal amounts of time, and at the end of the day, what have you got for it? Nothing. Our marriages. Classic cases of ostentation, classic cases of pretensions to grandeur. Ajeeb. And then people even say, hum kya karna sahab, Allah humare ko haisiyat diya to hum to karna padta. Main bola, Allah ke nabi ki haisiyat kya thi phir? Aapki haisiyat se badhke thi, kam thi? This is my status. Alright, so what was the status of the nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? According to you, less than you or more than you? I am not saying that if you have wealth and if you, for example, have a very large circle of friends and relatives, I am not saying that in the wedding of your child that you don't invite anybody, you only invite 10 people. No, I'm not saying that. I'm talking about ostentation. You want to feed people? No problem. Feed 1,000 people, feed 10,000 people, feed the whole city of Hyderabad. I have no problem with that. Set up tents in the parade ground. Cook one biryani. I'm not saying give them jawari ki roti and mirchi ki chutney. Give them a biryani. Give them one whatever curry. And give them a sweet. Feed the whole city of Hyderabad. Spend 50 crores on that because Allah gave you. No problem. Alhamdulillah, Allah will give you a reward for this. But instead of that, you go and hire Falaknuma Palace for 1 crore per day to have the wedding of your daughter or son in that place. Who are you fooling? That's your haysiyat? That is ostentation. That is haram. You will answer for every rupee of that. If you want to go to Falaknuma Palace, go and look at the palace and then think about the fact that even the one who built this palace today is in a grave. One day I will go in a grave. Ajib, why is this so difficult to understand? But what do? We spend that money and all the others, which are even worse, what do the others do? They go and attend those weddings. They make it a point to attend those weddings. If they don't get an invitation, they will ask for an invitation. They will go and beg and plead and they will do all kinds of play politics to get an invitation. Then they go to the wedding and then they will come back and say, kya israf kare saab? Kya bolna? Aat khisam ka to gosht tha. Are tumhare ko kon bola marne ko ja ke wahan khane ko? Gaye sota kha ke namak haram hi kar rahe upar se. Gali de rahe usko. Gaye kai ko phir gali kai ko de rahe. La hal wala quwwat hai la bil. Have you not heard this statement? Yeah, my bol raha hu so cheeza hai aap nahi sune. My brothers and sisters, we will answer for what we do. You will answer for what you spend. You will also answer for those you support in that kind of ghafla and maasiya. Allah said, ta'awanu alal birri wa taqwa. Wa la ta'awanu alal ithmi wal udwan. Allah said, help each other in things which lead to piety and taqwa. And do not help each other in things which are sin. If you get the invitation, don't go. Very nicely, very politely, very humbly, very sweetly tell the person, I'm sorry, I cannot come for this because this is something which is wrong. I'm advising you also, don't do this. Don't say I have a bad stomach or something. No, I have nothing wrong with my stomach. I have fine. My stomach is absolutely fine. I'm not coming for this reason because on the day of judgment, I don't want to be asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what were you doing in that place? Because by our actions, we support these things. And subhanAllah, this corruption has spread so much in society that Allah has given you money, so you throw it on the ground like garbage. But Allah has not given money to other people, but they have exactly your own brain's level. So they are as stupid as you. So what do? For their weddings, they go and borrow money on interest. And they bankrupt themselves. Why? Because, kya karna saab, shaadi to karna hai na. The beauty of wedding, the simplicity of the Islamic wedding is gone down the drain. And instead of that, we have imported things from other religions. Other people are suffering for the same reasons. We don't see that. We don't see that. Ask them, are you happy with what you are doing? They're not happy. But we import that and we do it ourselves. All sorts of rusumat, all sorts of practices. Manja or mehndi or kya la hawala quwwat. You want to marinate the bride before you get married or put all every spice on her body. Kahan se lai, kon se kya, kidhar ki rasam hai ye? All laghviyat, all things which are punishable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please wake up. Don't do it yourself and do not participate with people who are doing that. Don't go. Because remember, somebody told me, Mabela kai ku jate bhai? To bhai, nahi sahab, wo aisa hai, kal ke din unki zurat padi to kya karna? Kaisa rishta todna kisi se bhi? Mabela kal ke din Allah se zurat padi to kya karna? Magar hamare ko to Allah se zurat kabhi padne wali hai nahi. تو اللہ سے رشتہ رہا رہن دو نہ کو رہن دو کیا فرق پڑتا دوسروں سے رشتہ ہونا سنگ واٹ کین آئی ڈو یو نو سپوزنگ آئی نیڈ دا گائے ٹمارو سپوزنگ یو نیڈ اللہ ٹمارو ہاؤ اباؤٹ دیٹ بٹ سنس آئی ہیو نو ریئل بلیف ان اللہ سنس آئی ہیو نو ریئل بلیو دیٹ آئی ول نیڈ اللہ اینی ویئر سو دیئر فور آئی کین ڈو اٹ رشتہ ود اللہ کین بی بروکن دا ریلیشن شپ ود اللہ از ناٹ امپورٹنٹ دا ریلیشن شپ ود سم فیلو ہو ڈیلیبریٹلی ڈس اوبیز اللہ دس از امپورٹنٹ پلیز ویک اپ پلیز ویک اپ بیکاز دا ڈے ول کم وین یو اینڈ آئی ول بی ووکن اپ اینڈ دین ٹو ریئلائز آل آف دس فیوٹائل ٹوٹلی فیوٹائل ان انذرناکم عذابا قریبا یوم ینظر ما قدموا واٹ از دی فل آیہ ما قدمت یدا ویقول الکافر یا لیتنی کنت ترابا دی آیت از اباؤٹ دی کفار بٹ ٹیک دا لیسن فار آور سیلفز If we deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we are denying the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are committing kufr at some level or the other. I'm not saying you have become a murtad, but you are definitely disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at some level or the other. And every level there is answering. Let us not fool ourselves, my brothers and sisters. Bring Islam back into your lives, simplify your lives, it's good for you, it's no good for me. I'm not saying this for my benefit, I'm saying it for your benefit. It's good for you. It's good for you. It will fill your coffers with hasanat, with the things that Allah is pleased with. It will bring barakah into your lives. It will make your lives free from stress, free from anxiety, free from fear, free from trying to please the whole world because you are engaged with pleasing only one, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make it easy for us to understand. May Allah make it easy for us to practice whatever we say and we do. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the guts to stand up against these corrupting influences in society and to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the ta'alluq with Him when the question comes, do I want ta'alluq with this person or that person or ta'alluq with Allah? And the final thing, let me tell you, the ta'alluq with other people does not break. I don't go to any of these weddings. But I probably have more friends than any of you individually. People understand. There is no problem. It's all futur that shaitan has filled in our heads. Wahan shaadi mein nahi gaya to kya? Kuch bhi nahi hota. Pet achha rehta. Ghar mein sukoon se khana khao. Wahan gaya to pet kharab hota. Kuch bhi nahi hota. Saaf seedhi baat aap bolo. People respect. Whether they do or they don't do is immaterial. Because you are not doing it for them. You are doing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stand up and be counted. Stand up and say, I will not participate if the wedding is not shara'i. Because I don't want to invite the adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on my head. Tell them, you also don't do it. You want to spend your wealth? No problem. Call people. Feed 1 million people. But don't do that in this palace and that palace. Don't do that in this 5-star hotel and that 5-star hotel. Keep it simple. Spend the money. No problem with that. Explain things to people. Don't participate in rusumat which have nothing to do with Islam. Bring Islam back into our lives. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.